Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to the Glory Hunters podcast. Thank you so much for subscribing to us or downloading us. Very, very kind. Wonderful, wonderful panel this week. We've got Jeff Norcott and Natalie Sawyer playing for AFC Wimbledon. Feeling confident, Jeff?
Well, the team haven't been doing that well this season.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take all of them. They have been getting a lot of last-minute winners. So I might come with wet sail
That's
at the end.
That's the spirit. I like that. Fight to the end.
Yeah. You like that, do you, Natalie? Yeah. Is that your tactic as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've got a good team. I think we can do this.
How many have you won so far?
No idea.
Keep your stats.
Track of this.
Exactly. And on the other team, we have His Highness, Russell Grant, and... I was going to say His Lowness.
His Lowness.
He's a bit panter, but we'll go with it. Bob Mills. Hello, Bob.
Hello, mate.
Nice to have you back.
Oh, it's great to be back.
Russell Grant is wonderful, isn't it? Russell.
Fantastic.
Lovely.
He's not going to speak.
Let me just say something.
Yeah, say something, go
well,
on, Russell.
I'll tell you what I've done. I bought me shoot lead league ladders here.
Wow,
we do need these, especially as I'm going to be representing Middlesex non-league clubs.
Okay, yes.
So we can play around with all of our clubs here.
Could you give us all a club just to follow?
Well, yeah, we could. What about if we go for Hazelnut United because they're playing in the FA Cup?
I'll take them, lovely, yeah.
Harrowborough. We could go for Wingate and Finchley.
Wingate and Finchley. Yeah. What a lovely, lovely thing. Here's the podcast. Hello, I'm Charlie Baker and welcome to Glory Hunters, the show that aims to find the smartest celebrity fans in football. Our guests are given a last-minute medical and then thrown onto the field of play to represent the team they've always supported. But who will be match fit and who will pull up short? It's up for grabs now on Glory Hunters. Yes, we're joined today by team captain Bob Mills. It's always lovely to have you here, Bob. Do you have a 100% record
on Glory Hunters? I don't know, because I think you muck about with the scoring after I've gone.
I don't think so. I don't think we do such a thing.
I think I've done pretty well.
Are you saying Glory Hunters is bent?
Ooh, well, I would never say that.
Are you saying I've had an envelope under the table?
I'm saying that the score is a liquid thing. It's a movable feast, the score. But I think I've done all right. Hey, but you know what? It's not about the winning or losing. Yeah. It's how you play the game.
Anyway, alongside you is astrologer, author, presenter, and all-round British legend, and let's not forget dancer, is Russell Grant. Hello, Russell.
Hello.
So nice to have you here.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely thrilling to have you here. You are a lovely, lovely presence on everything you are ever on, Russell. I didn't know you were such a big fan of football. I knew you had some interest in non-league football.
Yeah.
I didn't know how far it spread. You are a patron of a number of non-league teams in Middlesex.
I am.
And you're not going to pick one today. You're going to be the Middlesex Commonwealth.
Oh, but this is a wonderful way of getting me on here, because it was difficult. It could either be Wealdstone, Ashford Town, Middlesex, or Staines Town. I'm even patron of the Middlesex County League.
Are you?
So to give me the whole of Middlesex means that I can become totally almost like a Rupert Murdoch of non-league.
But your first job was as a statistician.
It was.
For the Middlesex FA.
Yeah.
How did that come around?
12, 13 years old I was. Well, I wore this very tight-fitting anorak and decided that it was a great thing for me to do to get involved with non-league, because my dad used to play for Ruislip Town and Ruislip Manor. My grandmother and grandfather founded Ruislip Manor Football Club. It was a wish drive club first, and it became a football club.
Wish drive? Do you know what? I wish wish drives had taken off as much as football. Because I love a whist drive.
Well, they did in the
1950s. They were huge in the whist drive.
Whist drive, tombola. Yeah, lovely. Bit of bingo. Anyway, I was the archivist for the Middlesex FA in the 1960s. And I also founded the first hockey league, which was for Middlesex clubs in the 1960s. I did it all for free.
Now, this is the last time we're going to mention any of it. Bob Mills is a Cancerian.
Is he?
The only thing we're going to say, do Cancerians have good leadership qualities?
How did you know that?
Is it? Well, listen, Bob, we know everything about you. We have our secret police everywhere.
Cancerians, they love their food, they love their belly laughs. And they love their mother.
Yeah, there you go.
There we are. Spot
sums
on.
Sums it up.
Now, your opposing team captain is Natalie Sawyer, the Queen of Brentford.
Middlesex side.
Another Middlesex side.
The Middlesex.
Middlesex Cup. Middlesex Cup. You're
now,
right.
Natalie, do you know what links Russell to Brentford FC?
Our previous badge. Is that where you're going
with this? Yes, previous badge.
I know.
Russell badge.
Was very instrumental in how it all took form and... Yes.
And then we got that awful insect in the badge at the
moment. It's a bee, isn't it?
Are you sure it's a bee?
We need the bees.
We do, but it's not a bee.
Oh, what is it?
I think it's more like a wasp.
Oh, who needs
wasps?
You?
What do you think of it?
Do you know, I've grown to like it. I wasn't sure at first, but I understood why they had to change the badge for digital reasons.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure at first, but I've kind of warmed to it. My dad has an issue with it because we are the bees and it's just a singular bee.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm bitter and twisted that you are no longer using the badge
but
that Keith Loring and I designed.
I loved the
previous badge. It was good. It told a story.
Talk us through how that happened, Russell. How did that happen? You designed the previous Brentford FC badge.
No, part of it. I had a call from Keith Loring, who was chief executive at the time, and we'd just finished the big Middlesex Sports Awards, and he was there, and he came up to me and he basically said, I want to make this badge more local, and for all of our fans who come from Staines and Twickenham and Hampton and Hayes and all over the county. It's the county town, you see, is Brentford of Middlesex. And so I said, well, why don't you stick in the Middlesex coat of arms? And they did, and he did.
Now, Natalie, next to you in your team today is a man for whom one club is just enough, even when they went out of business and they came back as a Phoenix club. He's a comedian, Wimbledon fan, very good friend of mine, Jeff Norcott. It's a thrill to have you here, Jeff.
Morning, everybody.
Are you all right?
Yes, yeah, I'm good.
Now, you're a Phoenix club. Do you count yourself as a Phoenix club?
The Phoenix club. Charlie, when all the other ones start out, where do they come? FC United of Manchester, we granted them an audience. The glorious Ivor Heller.
They came to us.
The passionate hobbit Ivor Heller, which is what he calls himself. And it's been a great experience. You know, it's that weird thing of obviously what happened with Wimbledon was terrible. Would I trade the memories that we've had over the last few years? I don't know. But it's certainly radicalised our fans. We are a lot more passionate now than we used to be. Certainly the new fans. It's like when you've got any sort of sectarian history, you see, the fans coming through now are a bit lively, I would say.
Now, you're not just a football pundit. We know that. You're a brilliant, brilliant stand-up comedian. Let's hear you in your day job.
Genuinely, I think the next big conflict in this country will be a civil war between young people and old people. Genuinely. It will be a civil war. It'll be a very weird-looking war. I'll give you that. You know, because young people like to get up very late, don't they? And old people like to go to bed very early. So like, war will only be possible between the hours of 2 and 4 in the afternoon. It'll be... Like the moment Judge Rinder finishes, this lady, she's like, right, we're going to finish for countdown, though.
Now, I would like to say that that was recorded a while ago. I preempted the millennial gender wars. Gender wars?
Yeah, okay.
Generational wars.
Generational wars.
By quite some time.
You did.
Now look, that is actually quite likely what I've described there.
You think it's going to happen?
It started life as a joke and it's actually a sort of Terminator.
You are the Nostradamus of alternative comedy.
I am. Tell you, a bit of a social commenter, Charlie, I like to see myself as.
That's what you are. You are a social commentator, Jeff.
With economic good sense.
Exactly.
Put it that
there
way.
We are. Well, welcome to Glory Hunters. The scene is set for Wimbledon, the Middlesex Commonwealth of non-league teams, the kind of fixture that would put ticket touts out of business. To seal kick-off, we will start with a clip of Louis van Gaal in the mood for love.
What are you doing for Valentine's Day?
I give my players free. Eh? I have already give them a day off, so they can spoil the woman. and I'm spoiling my woman every day, not only on Valentine's Day. Yeah.
Would you do anything special on Valentine's Day?
Yes, we are doing something special, but I don't tell it. It's very private.
Louis van Gaal, a little bit saucy, but he was in charge of Man United for 103 games. How many of those games did he win? So nearest the pin situation. Russell and Bob, we're going to start with you. How many of those games, of the 103 games that he was, Louis van Gaal was in charge of Man United, did he win?
How many? 103 games?
103 games.
I think he won 39 of them.
I was going to say 40. So shall we go with that?
You're going with 40 games. Yeah. So, Natalie and Jeff, are you going to go higher or lower, basically, is the question?
United fans are one of those ones that will moan a lot even though things are going all right. So it could be a lot higher.
Football. Yeah, I was wanting to go higher.
Yes, I would say almost certainly higher.
We're going
to go higher. You're correct to go higher. It is 54 games, nearly 50%.
Yeah.
Very good. That means AFC Wimbledon, you will kick off right now. It's time for this.
My club's bigger than your club. My club's bigger than your club.
My club's bigger than your club. Now, the losing team is currently going first. You are 2-0 down, Russell and Bob.
Right,
this isn't about medals on the table. This is an exercise in winning hearts and minds. Are we ready? Good. Your time starts now.
Well, the Middlesex clubs rely totally upon volunteers, and I have a little list of what those volunteers did. Middlesex clubs have been champions of the Isthmian League 24 times, the Athenian League 18 times, the Amateur Cup 12 times, the FA Trophy 3 times, the Southern League 7 times, the Vars once, Yedding, National League 6 times, and that is all down to the volunteers who kept those clubs going.
What a fantastic answer. I mean, I'm thrilled. There's a few things I can... Yeah. The power of the people, Russell, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
The power of the people pulling together. The non-league people are always the best because they're there for the football. They're not there for anything else other than the football and to get the community spirit together. Fantastic. And you managed to say the Isthmian League correctly.
It's
always a difficult word to say, I think.
The Isthmian
League. Think of Chris Eubank saying it. The Isthmian League.
It's true.
Which is what is an Isthmian? Do we know?
Yes.
You know
what an Isthmian is?
An Isthmian is the
extra goal, if you get it right. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, it's all a lot of the leagues you see are during the time of non-league football, like the Corinthian League, the Delphian League, the Spartan League, the Athenian League, comes from different aspects of ancient Greece. Yeah. And of course, ancient Greece is the Olympian spirit, and the Olympian spirit is all about doing things because you want to do it.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. This is music to my ears. If I could give you more than five, I'd give you more than five. I'm giving you five goals. Congratulations. Jeff Norcott.
Yes.
Tell us why AFC Wimbledon is bigger than the whole of the Middlesex non-league pyramid.
Well, it's pretty obvious. We're everyone's favourite. We're everyone's second team. And we're one of 21 teams currently claiming that. So the maths doesn't fully work out. We're such a revolutionary team. Our mascot isn't even an actual animal. It's a womble, okay? We've got a womble as a mascot. He gets the crowd going and he sticks around and clears up at the end. All right, so forget Extinction Rebellion. Hayden the Womble, he's been doing this a very long time. We rose up from Combined Counties League despite not really having a home game since 1991. Even the Pakistani Test team have had a home game in that time. And, you know, we've got alumni, including Fashanu, Earl, Jones, and in non-league, what they've got? They've got a centre-back that doubles up as the club accountant. I'm sorry, I don't wish to be mean about non-league football, but it can't compete with AFC. Plus, we did the non-league thing.
You did the non-league thing, and I saw you in the Isthmian League, not you personally, but the club. Wimbledon.
We won the Amateur Cup as well at Wembley. Eddie Reynolds scored a hat-trick, 4-2 against Sutton United.
Yeah, and we won it 12 times.
Okay, fair enough.
From TalkSport, this is Glory Hunters, the podcast. Time now to incur the wrath of all decent thinking people as we enter the round known as
Sporting Heretics.
Yes, Sporting Heretics. I'm going to invite each of our panel to break the shackles of convention and suggest an idea they believe would change sport for the better. Their suggestions may be deemed as heretical in some quarters, but here on Glory Hunters,
we worship the old gods.
In fact, the more disagreeable or radical they are, the more likely they are to score. I'm going to select who goes in what order. Natalie, we're going to start with you. And you think more teams should be relegated from the Premier League.
I do, because when you think about it, at the top of the table, each season there's so much at stake. You've got the title, you've got the top four, Champions League, Europa League as well. However, at the bottom, it's just three teams go down. There's no real drama and jeopardy for more than three teams. So why not introduce more teams to be relegated? So I'm talking about five or six. It means, yeah, you may laugh, Charlie, but I think this is a good idea. It would just add a sense of drama and jeopardy, especially for neutral fans, mm-hmm. because we'd all be there thinking, well, who really is going to go down? And it would really lead to a relegation dogfight, be highly entertaining. It also means that the teams that seem to every season hover around the relegation zone but yet don't go down, well, they'll just have to get their act together and try a little bit harder. But then also means more teams for the Championship come up. So Brentford might get the chance to come up.
Yeah, yes.
So who doesn't want a greater influx of new blood into the Premier League? It would spice things up.
I was laughing at you.
I know,
Natalie.
I didn't like it. You didn't take it seriously.
This is a tricky one. I mean, obviously, I back my teammate to the hilt here, but as an AFC Wimbledon fan who survived on goal difference for about the last 4 years, it's tricky.
Yeah,
I've got to be honest, it's tricky.
I think
for the bigger clubs, you take it right up to mid-table, then mid-table obscurity would vanish as a phrase.
I was going to say, I don't think you've taken it far enough, is what I think. I think you should go middle. If you're under the middle line, you're down.
Mediocrity is death.
You're down, and that is it. And no one in the middle. Or if you're in the bottom, and if you're in the bottom three, you have to play in the Europa League as well. So that's just really
what about you relegate the teams in the middle, but not at the bottom? That'd be a confusing thing, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You'd have to either be really bad or really good.
You have to plan to lose to not finish it.
Yeah. You could get yourself in a
right
hole.
We're in 11th. It's a disaster.
It's all gone wrong.
It's a great idea. I sort of liked it. So.
No, that's
I sort of
not
liked
good.
It, sort
that's
of didn't, which isn't good. I'm going to give you three goals, Natalie.
Okay.
Let's go now to Bob Mills. And you are saying teams should change their kits more often.
Before I fell into the world of light entertainment some years ago, I spent the first 10 years of my working life in the fashion industry.
Oh.
And, of course, the big thing about the fashion industry is seasonal fashion.
Mm.
You have your autumn collections, your spring collections, your summer collections and your winter collections. And even those collections are subdivided into different sort of holidays and that. I'm a Leighton Orient fan, and Leighton Orient's one of our best seasons is when our kit was designed by one of the Conrans. Not, it wasn't Sir Terence, it was one of the kids they gave the job to. And I've always felt that there should be at least four kits a season. So you should have a first kit that you start. This is your starting kit. This is our
own kit. Summer
and
kit.
It should be.
Yeah.
Well, it should be a plain kit where the reds or the blues or the greens or the yellows is just a shirt.
Lovely.
And we're starting. And then as you move into the season, after 10 games, when things are either doing really well, in which case you brighten up.
Yeah, lovely, yeah.
Or
lovely.
They're getting tricky.
This is a lovely idea.
In which case you get a stripe or a sash or something
lovely.
Like that.
Sequins?
Sequins, I'm looking
fabulous
over the Christmas.
What a lovely
season.
Idea!
And faux fur trim.
I believe fur trim.
Russell, fur trim. Revolutionised the game.
Rhinestone, I'm thinking, and some little added extras.
Top of the
line. Rara skirt.
Yes, and some kind of maybe a muff neck.
I love a muff.
Or a bolero sleeve or something like that.
Or bolero.
And then the end of the season.
I want this kit now.
The end of the season where you're there and you're just fighting. I think it's just a button-up shirt with maybe a button-down collar and a pleat at the back and a gingham or something like that.
Pants and vest like at school. Like if you forgot your kit at school, pants
that's
and vest,
for the playoffs.
No kit.
The pants and vest. I like the American football, the Australian rules for, with a very tight short and no arms.
Lovely,
I like that.
I
sleeveless.
Like that. That's the summer
a
kit.
Sleeveless shirt, something
moving
like
winter,
that.
Moving to winter, a big jumper,
also,
big turtleneck.
It's a way of making money.
Yes.
Because what you're thinking is, well, not just our supporters will buy them, the fashionista will get involved.
Yeah, I like that.
Eventually, I see 11 different shirts.
However well you've played all season.
Yes,
very, very good.
Striker shirt, goalkeeper. Goalkeepers have got their own kit. Why shouldn't strikers have their own kit?
Someone suggested to us on the show I did on a Saturday morning the other day that if a goalkeeper goes up at the end in the last couple of minutes for a corner, he should have a cloak.
She'd have a cloak to put on.
And what would, did they say why? They
no, just because it's...
I would say cape rather than
entertainment. A cape or a cloak, yeah, you know.
Or one of those old-fashioned, like, dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, dun, he's going up. Imagine that.
Well, wingers should wear a cloak. Central defenders.
Wingers in cloaks. Wingers.
Central defenders should always be poncho. They should always wear a poncho.
Bob, I'm supposed to not like these ideas and not give you... But this is the best idea I've ever heard in my life. I'm going to have to give you 5 goals. Jeff Norcott, cricket should be the national sport.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem radical compared to this now, but to a lot of, you know, talk sport listeners, this is...
You bring the kits in, though.
This is going to seem radical. I think we're messing around pretending that football is the national sport. I think it's changed this year. And the trade... I mean, for cricket's had everything this year, hasn't it? Last-minute winners, punch-ups... Outside Bristol nightclub. It's the new football, right? And it actually delivers on the product. Now, you look at a lot of football trailers, they make out that you're going to be watching Gladiator 2 when actually you're watching a sequel to The Notebook. Football is mostly very boring, right? And you get all the drama. Plus, and you look at it, it's the working man's sport. Because it's cheaper than football now, but you can drink all day. You can stay there all day. You can legitimately be off your face by midday and call it being sociable. How often do you get to do that? I've never seen a cricketer get off a coach with a pair of Dr. Dre Beats headphones, right? And for that reason, cricketers are more like the man on the street, and that's why it should be our national sport.
That's the crowning argument, yes.
I did say that just to get Bob on side, because I know how he feels about Dr. Dre Beats.
Yeah. You don't like it. You know, footballers these days are all headphones, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Isn't it? And I know for a fact, I've seen them also on their mobile phone, and I think, I've been where you are, I've stood where you are, there is no reception. You're just doing that so you don't have to talk to other human beings.
I like the headphones bit, Jeff. I think football will always be our national sport because everybody likes it. Absolutely.
But this year, of all years, look at what the Ashes and the Cricket World Cup.
But
tell me a year when football provided anything close to that for the nation's sporting diet.
But the thing is, I'm supposed to disagree with you, so don't try and convince me. I'm supposed to disagree with you in this round. So I'm giving you 4 goals, Jeff.
Thank you.
Norcott, Russell Grant. Yeah. You're going to revolutionise TV coverage.
I am definitely going to revolutionise. I'm still getting over Bob's script, which is hilarious. I am. Get rid of all TV punditry before the game.
Oh.
But especially ex-footballers. Ex-footballers go off and manage clubs. Oh, they're not meant to be sat in a row and talking about stuff which I really don't understand, because I'm sure there's nobody else sitting there watching them, not even their own family. And I think if they go, we could go straight into the titles of whatever it is, whatever the match is, and we could go into maybe a bit of a non-league five-a-side job going on. We could have a women's game. We could have, anything other than people who have been players and are now there, sitting there, giving punditry when we're all waiting for the game to start. They should all become like Chris Kamara and go and do a tune.
Go and do show tunes?
Yeah. Show tunes, a little bit of a recording.
So you're not in the you've never played the game. You're not in that group.
I just don't want to see anybody the game. I want to go straight into the game.
What time's kickoff? 3 o'clock. What time's the program start? 5 to 3.
5 to 3.
You've got it. Straight into 5 to 3.
I don't even want to see them walking out.
No, I
don't. And doing the silly fake handshake.
Just kick off.
Yeah, kick off. There you go.
Any of that.
Join it 2 minutes in.
And if they have got those headphones on, I want to know what they're playing. Yeah. I want to know the tune. I don't want them, as my friend Bob says, pretending to listen to something where there's no batteries or there's no reception.
Now, we've also got a dearth of football managers, ex-football managers opening up pubs. I mean, we're getting to the point now when the last generation die off, we won't have any pubs owned by football managers. No. Where do we go?
No pubs, no news agents. Fish and chip shop that used to be where I grew up.
Sweet
shop. Fish and chip shop. The finest goalkeeper that ever played for my local club was our postman. But you're never going to have that anymore.
Never going to happen.
Because they can all get jobs in the media, and they shouldn't.
No. Right. Well, and look, we could Russell, also save a lot of money by because we wouldn't have to pay them.
Yeah. Russell, I agree with you, but I'm going to say I don't agree with you at all because I really like my job at TalkSport, which is built on punditry and
radio.
Ex-players.
I did start this up by
saying. Oh, you said by television,
TV
yeah, okay.
Pundit, so we'll have our two goals.
Okay, Russell, because I like you so much, I'm going to give you 5 goals. Yeah, well, there we are. So, at the end of that round, the scores are AFC Wimbledon 12 and the Middlesex Non-League Massive 17.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the podcast of Glory Hunters from TalkSport. Time now for Back in the Day, where we travel back to a landmark moment in both clubs' history. Natalie and Jeff, we're going back to 1988 and this.
Sanchez was in there, and that's a goal for Wimbledon. Laurie Sanchez. Well, what a typical Wimbledon goal. Dennis Wise delivers the free kick. Laurie Sanchez sneaks in and glances it into the far corner.
Laurie Sanchez's header denied Liverpool the double and secured victory for Wimbledon in the FA Cup final. But what else do you remember of that year, 1988? Here we go. Question one. Captain Dave Besant became the first goalkeeper to lift the FA Cup. But what other footballing first was he responsible for in that game?
Saved a penalty in an FA Cup
Hold
final.
Hold on a minute. I'll give you the... I know he... A, first keeper not to wear the number one on his shirt. B, first keeper not to wear a green jersey. C, first keeper to have a perm. That's it, that's not it. First keeper to save a penalty in the final.
I would stick with C.
Confident in that one?
Yeah.
Let's find out.
He did, and he saved it and made history. The first time ever that a penalty kick has not been converted in the FA Cup final here. And Besson did guess right. His homework paid off. And Wimbledon is still in the lead.
His son plays non-league, doesn't he? Dave Besson's
I don't know,
son,
does he?
Sam Besson. Sam Besson. Yeah, plays for, he played for Concord Rangers last year.
Well, that's Essex.
On Canvey Island. Yeah, you wouldn't know.
No, wrong county.
Besson's son, Shilton's son. He plays
Sam Shilton, is it?
Sam Shilton. Both Sam, yeah.
Old Dave Besson was up from Edgware.
There we are. We've got Edgware. The Middlesex.
And
someday we'll find it, the Middlesex connection. Jeff, where were you that day?
I was at Wembley, and it was such an interesting final because it's always remembered as this huge upset. But we did finish seventh that season. Wouldn't be seen. I mean, we'd only been a couple of years in the top flight, and of course Liverpool were very confident. You know, there was talk of they were going to 5-0 us. And you know, it's very unlike Scousers to be that sort of overconfident of their team's success. Mm-hmm. Did you hear me stutter there? As I realised
the
potential backlash.
Just panicked.
but it was. I remember, like there was 98,000 in Wembley then, with a lot of it standing. And as you know, whatever age I was that year, I was. It was all overwhelming. I was getting emotional listening to it.
I could see. Here we go. Question two. Mm. Which member of that FA Cup winning side made such a global impact that they had a song written about them by Aussie rock combo Magic Lunchbox? Was it A.
Wow.
Vinnie Jones. B. John Fashanu. C. Dennis Wise.
I wasn't aware of this. So on the first one, I was pretty confident. Yeah. Well, Fashanu didn't score. Dennis Wise had a decent game putting the free kick. Vinnie Jones, I remember, of course, he put in that huge early tackle on McMahon. I would say maybe he was a standout player. And obviously, in the celebrations afterwards, he looked demented. So it might be Vinnie Jones. That's my best guess. But
let's find out the answer. Yeah, it was Fash the Bash.
Well, one of many big hits for the Lunchbox.
One of the other ones.
If he was a friend of mine, John Fashanu, I'd like to have that as my ringtone every time he rang.
Would you?
But you'd never pick it up, though, would you? Because no, you'd want to hear the full thing.
Yeah,
never...
that's true.
There we are. Anyway, question three. John Fashanu went on to present this. Do you feel the power of the gladiators? Which of the following sports stars appeared as contenders on the show before stardom struck? Ooh. Boxer, Nicola Adams. Hurdler, Chris Rawlinson. MMA Mad Dog, Conor McGregor.
I don't think Conor McGregor would have necessarily...
I'm sure we would see that. We would see clips of it now.
Yeah, and he'd have probably thrown a coach at someone, you know? What do you
Chris
think,
Chris Rawlinson?
Mate?
Yeah. I think the Hurdler.
Yeah, it sounds like a good shout.
The answer is Chris Rawlinson. Yeah, well done. At the end of that round, you have 14 goals. Bob and Russell, seeing as you are both ambassadors here today for Middlesex non-league teams, it would be wrong of us not to return yet again to 1988.
Oh, yeah. Fabulous
and
year.
And the Middlesex Festival of Football. We were all there, of course. Remember it, Jeff?
Oh,
I remember it well. It's beautiful. Were you there, Russell?
I was certainly there.
You were the king.
The king. The king. I had a dream. I went to the mountaintop, which is Harrow on the Hill, and I looked down and I thought, one day I will bring the Middlesex Charity Cup back to Wembley, because in the war years, the Middlesex Red Cross Cup used to be played at Wembley. And in this dream, I saw myself with Jane Irving from TVAM.
Oh, yeah.
In huge stilettos, and they were hers, not mine, in this particular evening.
Look, that evening.
And I wanted it to be a celebration of Middlesex football. I was living in Alperton, which is in Middlesex and in the Borough of Brent. And I didn't know at the time, but because I was resident of the Borough of Brent, if I'd approached the mayor nicely, I could actually hire Wembley Stadium for
amazing.
A night.
Amazing. Amazing.
And I did. It was £5,000. The Middlesex County FA backed me all the way. And it was just the most amazing evening. There were about 5,000 people there, which someone, I think, told me that was more than the bars was getting at that time. So that was just the
fantastic,
most
yes. And Hendon beat Wembley 2-0.
They did.
And one of the scorers that day was a young Ian Dowie.
He was.
Let's relive that moment. No commentary, but it's almost as though you're there, isn't it?
It was.
Russell's got rid of all of them, isn't he? See, he was making good on his plan, was to get rid of all
the
pundits.
No pundits, let's just listen to it, exactly. But what else do you remember of the year 1988, Bob and Russell? Here we go, question one. Aside from the Middlesex Festival of Football, the other football event that year was Euro 88, and the England team made their ambitions clear in song.
I love this number.
Good one.
I could definitely do a Strictly to that.
I reckon you could. Unfortunately, they didn't win a game, so they didn't go all the way. However, can you tell me who produced England's tournament song, We're Going All The Way? Was it the Pet Shop Boys, B, Bootsy Collins, Or C, Stock, Aitken and Waterman.
Sounds like a Stock, Aitken
sounds
and
like a music factory one. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm going to say Stock, Aitken and Waterman.
All the way, we're going to say Stock, Aitken and Waterman. You were correct to say Stock, Aitken
and Waterman.
It's got
that kind of sound.
Let's go to question two. Kylie Minogue launched her music career with Stock, Aitken and Waterman that year with I Should Be So Lucky, which spent 5 weeks at number one. But can you tell me which of these songs equaled Kylie's stretch at number one that year? Was it A?
Ooh, baby, do you know what that's worth? Ooh, heaven is a place on earth.
Heaven is a place on earth by Belinda Carlisle. Or was it?
Ooh, baby, 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 baby. Ooh, baby, 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 baby.
Was it Push It, Salt and Pepper? Or perhaps?
The only way is up.
And the Plastic Population. Can you tell me which of those songs equaled Kylie's stretch at number one that year?
I've never heard of any of them.
Heaven is a Place on Earth, Belinda Carlisle. Was it Push It, Salt and Pepper, or The Only Way Is Up? Yes.
Now, I can tell you that year I was in pantomime in Guildford, and I sang...
Well, that'll help.
Oh, no, you weren't.
I sang I Should Be So Lucky, and guess who... It was Robinson Crusoe, and guess who Girl Friday was? Tessa Sanderson.
In 1988, there we are with the old javelin.
That gives us nothing.
it was just a point.
It was a very, very good point. In 1988,
Russell, you're my favourite.
Thank you, darling.
I don't know. I'm trying to think. What I was in 1988. I can't imagine. Let's presume they're all 1988, so they're not trying to trick us out of that. Yaz was a big hit.
Really?
I think it was a big hit.
Never
heard of it. You don't recognise it at all, Russell?
No, I didn't.
It's on every montage
for you
ever.
And me,
Are you singing that to me or just trying to recollect
I'm singing it to you.
Thank you.
I would have to say Yaz and the Plastic Population.
The answer is Yaz. Thank goodness for that.
Well,
question three.
You are so good. I'm
question
glad I'm on your
three.
Side.
1988 was also the year of the Seoul Olympics, which saw the largest number of competitors in the Cold War era. But which of these nations boycotted the Games? The Soviet Union, East Germany, the Seychelles.
When was Afghanistan? When did we boycott the Moscow Olympics? That was much earlier than that, wasn't it? So they wouldn't have boycotted Seoul, you know, just to get their own back.
I know you've got Seoul.
Was it only one that boycotted?
Only one of them.
It might be a trick. It might be Seychelles. Might be a trick.
See,
question.
No,
Seoul power.
No. It's just the poor attempt at...
Come on,
you've got Seoul.
East Germany and Soviet Union.
Well, East Germany wouldn't have boycotted it. They'd have only boycotted it had the Soviet Union boycotted it.
Yeah, exactly. That's
why
I think Seychelles.
Yeah. So Seychelles.
Going the Seychelles? Yeah. The Seychelles is the answer.
See?
Come on.
Let's all Seychelles. Shells.
She was in Bewitched.
Seychelles.
Oh, that's my favourite Tim Vine joke. Is it Tim's joke? It's very difficult to say what my wife does for a living. She sells seashells on the seashore.
If only he was here. Seychelles didn't compete in support of the North Korean boycott. The 1988 Olympics were also the last time the Soviet Union and East Germany would compete at the Games. Because, of course, the wall came down in 1989.
I wonder if, on the grounds of that boycott, I wonder if every medalist feels somehow devalued.
What, not having the big guns of the Seychelles?
Do you know that? Do you know that the ones that the when they boycotted the Moscow, those Olympics?
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the
when
same
the Russian
thing.
Team went there a few years ago.
Yeah. I wonder if somebody whoever won that 100 metres or long jump thinks, yeah, but it's only half
tainted.
A medal. Yeah, tainted.
If the Seychelles had been there, they'd have got the gold.
Would have been a different picture.
This is the Glory Hunters podcast in association with Monty Panesar Loft Conversions. Don't get in a spin, put a Velux in. Here on Glory Hunters, we like to let the public have their say, and that's why we do this. Our esteemed panel are about to face the scrutiny of the general public and have absolutely no idea what they'll ask as we play A Question of Sport Time. Yes, can we have our first question, please?
Hello. I'd like to ask the panel, when were they a hero just for one day?
When were you a hero just for one day, Russell Grant?
Oh, coming out of a cannon at Wembley, back to Wembley, it is in Middlesex.
What?
And it was just the best day of my life. And it was in 2011. And it was my jibe with Flavia Cacaccia.
Ah.
And they stuffed me in a cannon. The bishop wasn't happy. And I took off and I landed. And I. But that was just one of the best days of my life.
Fabulous. Five goals. Brilliant. Bob Mills, when were you a hero just for one day?
What do we want? Do we want a lightweight answer to this?
No.
Do you want your answer seriously?
As long as we can broadcast it.
I saved a dog once. I was in Cornwall and I was walking at the. The kids and Jen and the kids had gone back. We were renting a villa or a chalet, I think. And I was
holiday homes. We call them homes.
And I was walking along, and I saw quite an old, elderly gentleman. And he was so perturbed. And I went down, and his dog was on a rock, but the tide had come in, and the dog was stuck on the rock, and we were worried. And I fashioned a sort of a rope thing, and because there was some boats there, and I went out, I waded out, it was quite a long way to the dog, and I got the dog and I gathered it in, and I kept hold of the rope, and then I realised that the old man didn't have the strength in his arms to pull me back in, so no. I was now just me and the dog.
And
it was quite wavy. And so I let go of the dog, who swam back to shore quite happily, and I pulled myself ashore. And when I got back, Bob gone. But I was a hero in my own eyes, anyway. But it's remembered by my wife as that, you know, that time you put your whole life and our whole family at risk just to save a stupid dog.
Yeah, you're the reason the RNLI lose so much money every year.
And yes, yes.
Very nice. Three goals. Natalie.
Well, I wish I had a similar story, but I don't. Going along the sporting theme, when I was at university, we were in the common room, and it was me and my best friend, girlfriend. Oh, right. And,
at the time.
Still
no idea. Oh, okay.
Still all is. All right. So there was a pool table in the common room.
Okay.
And I quite enjoy playing a bit of pool.
Okay.
And these two guys said, let's play you two. So me and my friend took on these two guys. They were very optimistic that they could beat us.
Yeah.
But obviously, we did it for the girls. We won.
Oh, fantastic.
And I felt like a hero.
I'm giving you five goals. Jeff!
Yes?
When were you a hero just for one day?
So I was a mascot for Wimbledon Football Club at the tender age of 13.
Mm.
It was a bit late to be mascot. It was at Coventry
too old,
City.
Jeff.
Coventry
too
City,
old.
It was too old. And at that point, I was already 5'9", average height, UK male. So when the players came out, I looked odd. I always remember the inspirational words that Dennis Wise said to me. He said, that kid's got a beard. And so he said, he pointed at me as he ran out because I got there late and hadn't met the players in the warm-up. So I chose John Scales to kind of kick a ball with because out of that team, he's the only one that wasn't a total wrong'un. And then the referee blew to sort of say, right, we're going to get going. I dribbled the ball up to Hans Seegers, toe-punted it past him from about 3 yards. He genuinely didn't look happy about this. Slid on my knees in front of the 250 Wimbledon fans, dug up a bit of turf, and then was rebuked all the way back to the stand by the groundsman. Absolutely furious. And for the rest of that season, every time there was a goal on ITV at half time when they showed a goals compilation at that end, you could see my knee gouge.
Oh, that is as good.
Yeah.
That is
I made an impact at top level football, that's what I think.
Did you hold his hand? Did you hold hands with John Scales?
Eric Young gave me a look I'll always remember. And after that, to be fair, they did make a no beards rule for mascots after that. So I left my mark in another way.
John Fashanu. That's John Fashanu
on Talk Sport.
This is the podcast of Glory Hunters from Talk Sport. Wimbledon, in the shape of Jeff Norcott and Natalie Sawyer, have 33 goals, whilst Middlesex United, represented by Russell Grant and Bob Mills, have 38. Time now, however, for our two team captains to step up to the plate and argue either for or against a motion that I propose. I remain entirely neutral, like a Roman emperor watching two gladiators engage in an ideological fight to the death. The motion up for debate today is: this house believes we are living in the golden age of football. Arguing for that motion is Natalie, and arguing against is Bob.
You each have 30 seconds. Natalie, the floor is yours.
Well, everything about football nowadays is just better. We've got the best of the best, surely. Long-standing records are being toppled more and more. Players are getting fitter, faster and more technical every day. And it's less about one star and more about the collective in football these days. We've got better stadiums, manicured pitches, sublime TV coverage, and the best want to play here in the Premier League. And not only do we have the best players, we also have the best managers wanting to manage over here, a la Klopp and Guardiola. At club level, we are dominating in Europe. Just look at the Champions League and the Europa League finals. And internationally, well, England reached the World Cup semi-final as well as the Nations League semi-finals. And if this isn't the golden age of football, then when was it, I ask Bob? Was it in the 80s when we had hooliganism? I don't think so. Was it the 70s when England never qualified for a tournament? I think we much prefer nowadays.
Bob Mills, over to you.
A huge quiver of arrows that I could use to destroy that particular argument. I could give you VAR. I could give you the influx of overseas players. I could give you the disconnect between players and fans. I could give you the massive money that is polluting the game. But I don't need to. I can do it simply with a story. I went to Brisbane Road to the Johnson's Paint Checker Trade, whatever it's called, trophy, and watched Leighton Orient play Brighton Academy. The game finished after 90 minutes as a 1-1 draw, at the end of which they had a penalty shootout, which Leighton Orient won, which means that Brighton got 1 point for the draw, we got 1 point for the draw, and an extra point for winning the penalty shootout. We now live in a world of football that has no winners and no losers. It's the end of days for this game.
This is a really difficult one to. I'm not the one of these people to look back and go, "Oh, it was much better in the old days. I preferred it back then." And I do agree with Bob's thought about the situation he described last night and the VAR situation, but I'm gonna give it to Natalie. I agree with a lot of Natalie's points. And Torquay are doing really well at the moment, so I prefer it now to when we were doing rubbish.
Not that you look back.
I look back, you know. So there we are. So Natalie, I'm going to give you the three goals. So it is 36 to AFC Wimbledon and 38 to the Middlesex FC. In the dying moments of the game, we move now into injury time, where each side has 60 seconds to score as many goals as possible. Remember, you're up against the clock, so speed is of the essence. When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
Hey, dilly-din, dilly-dong, wake up, wake up.
The losing side is going to go first. That's AFC Wimbledon, Jeff and Natalie. I'm going to list a number of teams from the world of sport named after animals. All you have to do is tell me which are true and which are false. Your time starts now. Grasshoppers.
True.
True.
It is true. Shanghai crabs.
False.
It's true. Oh. Tamworth blue tits.
False. False.
It is false. Pittsburgh penguins.
True. True.
It's true. Surrey sloths.
False.
It is false. Toledo mudhens.
False.
It's true. Jacksonville jumbo shrimp.
False. False.
It's true.
No!
The Boomtown rats.
False.
It is false. Wasps.
True.
True.
It is true. The Sid Cup straw dogs.
True.
It's false. Bathurst pandas.
True.
True. Tavistock turtles.
False.
It's false. The Arctic monkeys.
True.
It's false. Ah. The Delaware fighting blue hens.
True.
It's true. The bear necessities.
False.
It's false. Amarillo sod poodles.
False.
It's true. The Def Leppards.
True.
It's false. The Wormsley Warthogs.
True.
It's false. South Carolina Gamecocks.
True.
Savannah Sandgnats.
False.
It is false. Oh, it's true. It's true.
Wake up. Wake up.
Okay, so at the end of that round, you scored 11 goals. And what a go that was. You're on 44, playing 38. Russell and Bob. I'm going to list a number of names from the TV show Gladiators.
Oh, no.
I need you to tell me which are true or false.
Cold.
When your time is up, you'll hear this sound.
Louis van Gaal's army!
Are we ready?
Come.
Your time starts now. Saracen.
True.
It is true. Amazon.
True.
It is true. Rocket Man.
False.
It is false. Razzle.
False.
It is false. Vulcan.
True.
True. Tuppany Nudger.
False.
It is false. Xanadu.
False.
Tis false. Rio.
True.
Tis true. Laser Quest.
False.
Tis false. Zodiac.
True.
Tis true. Fiesta.
False.
Tis false. Trojan.
True.
Tis true. Colonic.
False.
Apollo.
False.
Tis false. Bullet.
True.
Tis true. The Baron.
False.
Tis false. Diesel.
True.
It is true. Chaos.
False.
It is false. The Woodsman.
False.
It is false. Rebel.
True.
It is true. Siren.
True.
It is true.
You evil Gauls, I'm
unbelievable. We got them all right.
I know the Gladiators. I'm a huge fan. I work with a lot of the Gladiators.
I don't know the Gladiators, but I think I would have got Colonic.
Colonic was funny.
Well, at the end of that round, Bob, you got them all right. You scored 21 points, unreal, which means you got 59 goals for the Middlesex FC Massive, playing AFC Wimbledon's 47. Jeff?
Just feel like I've let the club down. I feel worse than the Norwegians that sold us to Milton Keynes. This is shameful. I shall not show my face at whatever stadium we're at when this goes out.
Because you've been banned as a mascot now, haven't you?
Yeah. I can only go in actually as a mascot now. That's the only way I can sneak in.
That kid's got a beard.
That was the funniest thing.
And, the pride of Middlesex.
Well, I just want to say, on behalf of the Kingdom of Middlesex, Bob, you are now going to have to be not just a legend, but you are going to have the keys of the
I expect
county.
Some kind of title.
Keys
I
of the
county. Yeah. I was just about to say, can Lord of Bushy. Not bestow a title
well, that's
on
hearts,
him.
But we could make you, what about Lord of Potter's Bar?
Yes, that would be nice.
Suits you, Bob.
Yes.
Really suits you.
The Baron of Potter's Bar.
There you are. Yeah.
Anyway, to our winners, we say... And for the losers, Johnny Fashanu. Huge thanks to Natalie, Bob, Jeff and Russell. Until next time, from myself and everyone here, it's goodbye. There it is for another week. Congratulations, Russell and Bob. Fantastic.
Oh, more than fantastic. I don't want to use the word trounced. Because it's quite old-fashioned.
I know, but it's a good word.
That was a trounce.
Yeah.
What you did there with the Gladiators, that was the sporting quiz equivalent of Bolero with Tom
yes.
Lindsay.
Yes, it was. Oh, yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah. If anyone ever asks you, have you ever been a hero?
That was
that
it.
That was it. Your moment.
That from now on, that will be it.
21 out of 21 on a true or false quiz. Wonderful. About their Gladiators.
And people thought I wasted my Saturday evening.
Thanks so much. Do rate and subscribe us wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you again next week on Glory Hunters.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.